This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1422. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded August 19th, hurricane-related monitoring, future plans for Brazil, Ukraine, Tennessee, Cuban events, including 5:30, reactivations from Equatorial Guinea and India, Indonesians back on the tropical bands, reviews of Voice of Korea and Radio Sweden, Serbia closes private broadcasting, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. In case you're wondering about the status of the Aboriginal station in Humpty Doo, Northern Territory, Australia, ARDS, it's not been on its shortwave frequency 5050 since July of last year due to technical problems, according to info from the station obtained by Alex Franis in West Virginia, Hardcore DX. He says there's no word on whether they will return to shortwave. But a bit west of there is HCJB Australia. And in World DX Club Contact, the QSL report, an item from Fockery, they call the column, by the way, duly verified, about 15425, which was heard August 17th at 1200 UT, that is, of August 17th, 2 years ago. The picture on the card depicts the Bungle Bungles. The unique geological formations are found in the Purnalulu National Park, Western Australia. Horizontal silica bands are clearly visible. And it says, sightseeing flights from Kununurra to see the Bungle Bungle fly over the HCJB Australia transmitter site every day. To which I reply, watch out for all that RF and consider its takeoff angles and azimuths. In DX Listening Digest, Terry L. Krieger in Clearwater, Florida, says he was hearing a station on 1540 kilohertz August 17th between 10 and 11 UT, unidentified with Southern gospel music, and then later one definitely identified from Texas. But what about ZNS-1 in the Bahamas? He says Southeast Florida contacts are still hearing no trace of it upon checking August 17th. It was supposed to be back up a few days ago, upgraded, but missed the date, just when their citizens could have used it with the tropical storm, or Hurricane Fay as it was briefly, about which more later in the program. About Brazil, Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal says, the first time I observed Radio Cultura São Paulo on 9660 instead of its authorized frequency 9615 was July 12th. At 2218 and the next day at 0915 and 1400 and again on July 13th and 14th, but as of a month later, no longer heard. However, on August 16th, Edson Bacorni in Rio Grande do Sul said he did hear it on 9659. This was at 1948 UT, way off its nominal frequency, 9615. Edison Bocorni also quotes the Célio Romais blog that the contract for Brasilia to relay China Radio International on 9665 expires at the end of this year, prompting speculation that that transmitter and that frequency might then be used to carry Radio Nacional Amazonia, which it appears in some parts of Brazil is not well heard on the higher frequency of 11780. And which also, as we've reported, is having interference problems on the 49-meter band. Meanwhile, there is another Brazilian station, a private one, also on 9665, only at certain times, Rádio Marumbi. Following item was reported several months ago, and it turned out to be a false alarm, but just in case it happens this time, according to Célio Mais' blog, a station on 9820 may be activating in Brazil. It's been listed in the official shortwave frequency register for quite some time. Rádio 9 de Julho belongs to the Archdiocese of São Paulo. And apparently there are plans to start broadcasting on that frequency, actually, by the end of August. So watch out, Radio Havana. You may have some competition for 9820. An unusual CRTC application in Canada, passed on by Ricky Leung in Alberta, concerning CFUN-AM in Vancouver, B.C. on 1470. They have applied to move their transmitter site approximately 8 kilometers to the southeast. And they say that this will result in a decrease in the coverage area reaching approximately 574,000 fewer people. It seems hard to believe such a minor move would cause such a loss of audience, and even harder to believe why they would want to lose it. But there's something in the application about at the present location. It has deteriorated to the point that the station is unable to prove its antenna pattern. Dean McIntyre in Alberta says it will still be 50 kilowatts unlimited, but the coverage area is defined by the 15 millivolt per meter contour. That is strong enough to be at good listening strength on our crystal set. The lost coverage area will be in northwest Vancouver. The pattern is close, but not exactly the same as the old one. He says, I always wondered if the current pattern is accurate. According to the official pattern, not much signal is sent east, but it is a regular here in Calgary on the crystal set. Another victory for Canadian content. Via Kevin Redding, ABDX, a Globe and Mail story of August 15th, Northern Peaks Pornography Channel clears first hurdle. It's a pay television channel pledging to show at least 50% domestic content at night and has been approved by federal regulators. Before Northern Peaks will be given a license, it must show the CRTC that at least one cable or satellite carrier has agreed to pick up the service. But it will not carry any high-definition programming, and due to the adult nature, it will only be distributed at the specific request of the subscriber and not packaged with other channels. If you keep tuning around the bands as I do, you're bound to find Firedrake on New Frequencies, the Chinese musical jamming. It even hit WINB 13570 August 14th at 1328. It was about equal level to the relay of Harold Camping of Family Radio. But check the next day, it was gone. Probably the station it was trying to jam, Sound of Hope, had moved on to another frequency. See the Media Network blog for commentary by Andy Sennett on how the Chinese duped the world broadcasters at the Olympics opening ceremony, to which there were many replies, including this one by frequent contributor initials SRG. The sensationalist media missed the whole point. The cute little girl was lip-syncing Ode to the Motherland, but the lyrics in translation include this: we love peace, we love home, but if anyone dares to infringe upon our peaceful home, we will render him to death. The sun is rising in the east. Our people's republic is maturing. Our leader, Mao Zedong, guides the way forward. SRG says, composed in 1950, the song soon became an unofficial anthem for Chinese fight with Americans in Korea. Later, the song was closely associated with the Cultural Revolution. My older Chinese friends were shocked that such a politicized and aggressive song was picked for the Olympics opening ceremony. It reminds them of PRC's initial anti-Western tendencies and of millions killed in the labor camps. Steve Ponder from Houston, Texas, posted this to NRCAM and other medium wave lists. He was excited about hearing Cuba at midday on 530 kilohertz while driving along US 90 on the coast of Mississippi on August 9th. He says, I was bored with the same old FM programming, so I hit the seek button by accident on my rental car, and it stopped right on 530, a huge signal from Radio Encyclopedia out of Havana. This was at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. Never estimate the power of AM propagation over salt water. Terry Kruger in Clearwater, Florida, continues monitoring Cuba, especially on medium wave. He says he's heard some carriers on 529 kilohertz before, popping on and off in the daytime, and now there's one on 528, exactly, August 17th at 2004 to 2045 UT, while he too was planning to listen to Radio Encyclopedia, which provides background music all day with good reception. He says, Encyclopedia blows away with the glorious hour-long presumed reel-to-reel cocktail music, oblivious to tropical storms, or even more important, Olympic gold medal recipients. And this is a good thing. We love NC, possibly the best station ever created. Not all things Fido or Raul are bad. Trust me on this one, he says. And that very same day, he was hearing another strange carrier from Cuba on 1181.80 at 1658 to 1740 UT. No audio detected, but Radio Rebelde was running their national newscast, which is on every day at 1700. Of course, these are on there to interfere with Radio Marti from Marathon. Then Terry also checked the frequency schedule on the Radio Marti website and noted that they no longer mention 530 kilohertz, which he has not heard for a very long time anyway. That was the one from an airplane over the Florida Keys, so what has become of it? They do, however, list airborne television channels. In Corpus Christi, Texas, Harry Helms checked 530 and 1180 around 0500 UT and could not detect any heterodynes at that distance. Brazilians have been complaining about the very poor modulation and lack of response from Radio Cairo's Portuguese broadcast, but I can do them one better. I heard an open carrier on 9280 kilohertz for more than half an hour at midnight 30 UT August 18th. Didn't realize what it was at first until I looked it up. This is supposed to be Radio Cairo's Arabic service to North America, but there was no modulation audible whatsoever. Oh well, firing up the transmitter and burning the kilowatts is half the battle. Equatorial Guinea has reappeared on 15190. That's the Radio Africa service carrying U.S. religious broadcasters. It had last been reported on 15190 July 4th, but on August 13th I found a carrier on 15190 at 1505 UT with a bit of undermodulation, but I could not be certain of the identity. I also checked for it later in the following days. Others, however, definitely heard it. Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania reports Radio Africa August 15th from 1925 past 2159 with U.S. religious programming in English. Also Cheryl Paskovitz in Wisconsin August 16th at 1800 with a sermon. Another Equatorial Guinea frequency, Radio Nacional Bata, which is sporadically on the air, has been reported lately on 5005. Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil was hearing that August 15th until closing around 2300 and again on the 16th, when it was also reported by Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania. As for me, I often hear 6250, Radio Nacional in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. Brian heard it signing on at 0535 UT, August 16th, in Spanish. I usually hear it a few minutes later, past 0600, when the news seems to start, about 5 minutes late. In Florida, Pompano Beach, Bob Wilkner has been hearing something interesting on 3291.20, August 17th, until 1200 UT. He wonders if it could be Guyana Broadcasting Corporation, reactivated, which has been off for about a year. However, that's awfully late, I think, for Guyana to be propagating on 90 meters. But he says, surprisingly, the band is still open. Remember how close we are to the Atlantic. Conditions are very odd. The following evening, however, he did not hear it, but it bears further checking, varying 3291.1 to 3291.2. Thanks to Jerry Prock via Sheldon Harvey's Radio HF Internet newsletter, we are led to the Haiku Naval Radio Station. No, it's not about Japanese poetry, but that's a place in Hawaii. A website, www.davewjessup.smugmug.com, of all things, has something about this, and another link to www.friendsofhaikustairs.org. Apparently this was a top-secret radio station on Oahu in World War II. And the stairs atop the mountain ridge were supporting a huge antenna, maybe very low frequency. There's a lot about it there, and it's lately fallen into disrepair and has been inaccessible, but there's a group trying to make it accessible once again. Via shortwave, FM, AM, satellite, and Internet, this is World of Radio 1422. If you can cope with large amounts of text, you'll find an amazing amount of info at our website, worldofradio.org, primarily in the archive of DX Listening Digest, upon which this program is based. Your comments and contributions always welcome to WORADIO@yahoo.com or P.O. Box 1684 ENIDOK 73702 USA. On the DX India list, Joe's Jacob in Hyderabad gave a couple of days advance notice about this. Indian Independence Day is August 15th, which causes some special broadcasts. All India Radio in Kohima on 4850, he says, I do not usually hear. In fact, we think it's probably inactive most of the time. But he says, I do hear them on Independence Day and on Republic Day, which is January 26th, and on days leading up to them. So watch out for 4850, scheduled at midnight to 0415, and from 1000 until 1600, or as late as 1700. Well, this paid off. He reported he was hearing them on August 14th at 1325, as expected, also heard by Alokesh Gupta, and in California by Ron Howard, August 14th at 1308 to 1404, and he says it was a strong signal in vernacular, ads and jingles, marching music and anthem, and a speech for Independence Day, parallel to many other All India Radio frequencies, on the 60 and 31-meter band. But 4850 was the strongest AIR I've ever heard on 60 meters, says Ron Howard. From his remote monitoring post at Asilomar Beach in California, Ron Howard has also been hearing some tropical band Indonesians, August 12th at 1224, RRI Fuk-Fuk on 4790.03, parallel to Palangkaraya on 3325. And they had a local ID. Furthermore, on 3976, presumably RRI Pontianak on Kalimantan, August 17th at 1307, with some phone calls on the air. This one had been off the air for 4 or 5 months. In Kumri DX, we also have a report of these and others from John Wilkins in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. 3325 Palangkaraya, August 14th at 1135 to 1230. Relaying Jakarta at 1200, as many of them do. 3976.06 RI Pontianak, August 17th at 1253 past 1305. He also says, I've not heard this one in several months, not even a week yet, on many attempts. I hope they're back for good. 3995.03 RRI Kendari at 1235 past 1300, August 16th. On 4604.94, another one has returned, RRI in Serui at 1205, August 14th, relaying Jakarta, weak but readable, another station I have not heard for several weeks or months. Whether it's been silent or just bad conditions, John says, I don't know. And one more, RRI Makassar, 4749.96, August 11th at 1159 past 1230. Once again, relaying Jakarta most of that time, but still there at 1300. He says, I haven't heard this one all summer, but have heard it daily during the previous week. Maybe it was silent or just lousy conditions. In the open to discussion column of communication from the British DX Club, David Gascoigne in Kent says this, given that the regime is a totalitarian nightmare with no regard to the misery for the majority of its citizens, and in spite of the fact that they were directly responsible for me and thousands of others having to fight a particularly nasty war thousands of miles from home, I have to admit a sneaking admiration for some of the music broadcast from North Korea. One must, of course, ignore the ludicrous propaganda which the Voice of Korea churns out, but given reasonable reception conditions, some of the choral and solo vocal renderings are musically quite delightful. Although, I dread to think what some of the lyrics mean, as with that song lip-synced by the little girl in China. NBCDX, Ruman Pankov in Bulgaria says he's not heard the Voice of Kurdistan on 6335 since July 1st or even before then. It seems they've ceased their broadcast starting at 0345 until 0700, and 1600 to 1900, the first hour of which had been in English, or have they moved to a new frequency? Madagascar is the closest shortwave country to the Antipodes from Western North America. Ron Howard in California reports a very nice long path catch of Radio Nacional Malagasy on 5010, August 13th, at 1334 to 1423 in French or vernacular, with a variety of music, calypso, high life, etc. There initially was some interference from India, but that dropped out. However, before then, he'd only been hearing All India Radio on the frequency, so it was a nice surprise. And he heard it again on August 17th, Madagascar on 5010 at 1340 to 1356 with ballads in French. Furthermore, it's on carrier plus upper sideband only, nothing on lower. In shortwave bulletin, Ronnie Forslund in Sweden also hears it at 1830 on 5010.04. August 3rd, with nice local music, radio theater in French, often with a good signal, but none of the email addresses on their website seem to work. Ron Howard on the beach in California says it's probably been over 20 years since I last heard XCXQ in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. I was living in Santa Barbara then, but he presumes he's now heard it on 6044.93, August 16th at 0227. To 0255 with classical piano music. Or rather, it was exactly the same time, both August 16th and 17th. Small World Department, Bruce McGibbon in Oregon says, if you received a QSL from Radio Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia during the 80s, it most likely came from a person named Bayar, B-A-Y-A-R. What are the odds you would be at an entrepreneur conference in Portland, Oregon, and sitting behind you would be Bayar, who used to be the QSL guy for Radio Ulaanbaatar? This happened August 16th, and his wife could not believe it. Bayar and I will be getting together to talk about shortwave and Radio Ulaanbaatar. Supratik Sanatani says the brand new Myanmar transmitter on medium wave 594 is throwing in local quality signals at Calcutta in the evenings, 1500 UT. It leads the parallel but faint frequency 576 and the strong shortwave 5985 by almost 9 seconds. How could this be explained? English news at 1530, followed by announcements and music. As for some other shortwave frequencies from Myanmar, John Wilkins in Colorado, Cumbre DX, reports the Defense Forces Broadcasting Station 5770.02, August 14th, from 1249 past 1315, with vocal music and few announcements. Poor with little readability. And in BCDX, we have the latest exact frequency on the 31-meter band, 9730.766 for Myanmar Radio. Heard at 1433 by Wolf Dieter Benke in Germany. Ron Howard in California rounds it off to 9730.77. Clearly in English at 1417 August 17th. The Minorities and Educational Service, probably an English lesson. Last week we reported that World Harvest Radio was being relayed by KHBN on Palau, 9955 kHz, and we suspect they're in the process of purchasing the station, or at least purchasing airtime on it. This was in fact mentioned on one of the Harvest mailbag shows. August 13th at 0500 on 7365, says Krister Brunström in Sweden. Dragan Lekic in Syria says, an announcement was released that all radio and TV stations in Serbia with no licenses must be closed down by August 31st. Stations disobeying will be closed by force in coordination with the police if necessary. It's expected the majority of stations will close, but some will not do that and will be punished by the law. Stations in the city of Belgrade were already closed down on July 31st last year. Some radio stations have already left the air in other regions. So, dear DXers, almost 1,000 Serbian stations will disappear from September 1st, and from now on you will be hearing only stations which are licensed. I may complain about the lack of music on Radio Sweden, but for a daily half-hour show, they really do a fine job of putting together an entertaining and informative magazine of news and features in English. The announcers have a tongue-in-cheek sense of humor, which ensures a friendly image for Sweden. Too bad they don't have time to cover all the other Nordic countries which have abandoned English and shortwave altogether. We can hear Radio Sweden in North America quite well at 12:30 and 14:30 on 15240. The first one direct and the others relayed via Canada, also at 0130 and 0230 on 6010. On the August DX program of Radio Ukraine International, Oleksiy Yegorov reports that the National Radio Company received complaints of bad reception in outlying regions of Ukraine. Shortwave is being reactivated, starting in September on 5970. That's the planned frequency to relay the UR1 home service program with a 100-kilowatt non-directional transmitter in Brovary near Kyiv. De France of WWRB tells me that Airline Transport, the company owning the station, is adding more aircraft and plans to build another runway at the WWRB shortwave transmitting facility. This will require the removal of an entire antenna system. It's sad to remove the antenna, he says, but ATC is much more profitable. Which antenna is it? He thinks it's the 270-degree beam, which, as far as I can tell, is not currently in use, a dual-feed reflector curtain aimed toward the sparsely populated Pacific as well as Oklahoma. Noel Green in England has an intriguing NID on 9555, around 0630, past 0700, with some very faint music. Could it possibly be the third harmonic of WWRB 3185 carrying Brother Scare? They have been reported on the second harmonic. WRMI 9955 was heard better than usual thanks to some antenna testing toward the northwest Saturday afternoon, August 16th, when there was a special from the Huntsville Hamfest with Ted Randall, replacing a number of Radio Prague relays, which in turn have replaced Radio Republica, which is temporarily, we assume, not being broadcast by WRMI, so there should be less jamming once the Dentro-Cubans catch on. We certainly hope so, since two new broadcasts of World of Radio have been added, Saturdays at 2000 and Sundays at 2030 UT. Regarding Hurricane or Tropical Storm Faye, August 17th at 0615 UT, Alan Stern in Florida was listening to Hurricane Hunter aircraft NOAA 49, not only on VHF, but also on HF 3455 and 5550. Later that day at 2015, as Faye was hitting the Florida Keys, Steve Lehrer in Michigan checked the frequencies of AFN, and they were missing from 7811 and 12133.5. Whenever a hurricane or a tropical storm threatens, it's not unusual for medium wave stations to go on emergency facilities operating their daytime power and antenna pattern at night, so a good chance to hear Florida or wherever a storm is hitting. Earlier, August 10th at 0327, Steve Witt, UK, in medium wave circle was hearing Florida's 1680 WOKB with its Caribbean format. The NASB newsletter reminds us that the B08 conference of the High Frequency Coordinating Committee is taking place August 25th to 29th in Moscow. Their official representative is Glenn Tapley of WEWN. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued August 12th. A&K indices mostly 5 and 2, but 10 and 3 on August 20th and 20 and 5 on September 5th. Solar flux still stuck at only 66 through September 8th. That's World of Radio 1422. I'm Glenn Hauser.